If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Experiences Aboard Ship with the Ashtar Command, How Genuine Encounters Occur with Advanced Human Civilizations. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward in your divine presentation as that immortal essence that you truly are of the divine light, love, and sound of the Supreme Creator. You are the holy vessels through which the one supreme, invisible and indivisible source field creatively expresses. That is the dharma, the duty, the purpose of the human, H-U, heavenly, universal, man with a capital M, non-gender specific. So we're going to start with asking for that which is for your highest good, because this is going to be an activational seminar, a triggering seminar, and hopefully a clarifying seminar for many of the experiences that you may have had or will have shortly on a more conscious level. So we're going to chant HU three times to spiritualize the mind and raise your vibrations as high as possible. Ready? Take a deep breath. HU. Focus in on your third eye, and that purple light that I believe almost all of you are seeing is the way-shower, the beloved, the inner master, the traveler. It's your own self presenting as a divine purifying essence, walking the higher divine codes of light, love, and sound into this earthly density. Wherever you go, you cleanse, you clear, you purify, you resurrect new life. So our experiences aboard ship often begin with a ringing tone that seems to plug in to your right ear. Sometimes it's a circular tickling or sensation on your left or receiving palm. Sometimes it's a telepathic invitation or request. Are you ready? And that's how my most recent experience aboard ship with the Ashtar Command occurred. I was lucky. Last month, I had two. I met with Ashtar on January 22nd. And on January 28th, 10 days ago, I was sitting and having my morning drink in front of the, facing the patio and the beautiful expanse of sky. And I noticed to the right a clearly defined mothership. It was miles and miles and miles long, with a snub nose as it has. And it was barely cloaked. Usually we'll put a cloak that makes it difficult to tell whether it's a cloud or a spaceship. I can tell immediately because I'm sensitive to that. And you can tell also. Raise your left palm or your receiving palm if you happen to be left-handed and place it towards a cloud and ask if it's from the Ashtar or the Confederation fleets. If it's from the Ashtar Command, Confederation fleets, you'll get a circle or a tickle on your palm as you place it out in the sky, whether or not a ship is visible. And that's how you can tell that a ship is present, not always manifested into our optics, but always present. So I noted the ship was there, and I watched it for about a half an hour. As soon as I told John, who was sitting nearby, and he came and saw it, it began to recede and dissolve into the, it began to go away. The next day I came out and sat, and it was right in front of where I sit, right in front. Of course, it's about 150,000 feet in the air, but again, it was ginormous. And as I watched it for about a half an hour, an eagle with outstretched wings formed in cloud formation very, very clearly over the ship with the head turned to the west. And I heard telepathically, very clearly in my mind, if we come for you tonight, are you ready? And I said, yes. So I went to bed rather late and asked to have a conscious experience, which is important, that I could share, to record. And I said a prayer, and I went to sleep. Before I went to sleep, I heard that ringing tone in my right ear. And in those ringing tones, your whole frequency is calibrated. And you're downloaded with the codes of light that you need to receive at that moment, which may later come out as you teach, as you write, as you interact with people, or it may be just adjusting you to go aboard ship. There's many reasons why they put the tone through you. And I awakened at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was a little disappointed because nothing had happened. So I went back to bed. I fell immediately to sleep. No sooner had I fallen asleep than I heard, "We're waiting for you. Come now." So I got up out of my physical body in my etheric physical, which is still a physical body, but it's ethereal, just like the ships, just like we are aboard ship in the etheric physical vehicle. I walked out to our family room. I walked out onto the patio. And I was dressed in my long nightgown and barefoot, so it was really cold out there. I distinctly felt the cold. But almost immediately, they put this white tube of light down over my body, which was warm, and it felt like I was in a tubular room. I didn't have a feeling of being beamed up in the air. I had a feeling of being in a white tube of light that was solid. The only little movement that I sensed was just as we approached the flange and opening of the shuttlecraft, and I stepped aboard. I very formally bowed with my hand across my chest and said, "Namaste." And the three lady crew members, very friendly, simply said, very naturally, "Welcome aboard." They were dressed and looked like ordinary Earth people, completely natural. I was taken immediately into a smaller room aboard the shuttlecraft where there was a board meeting. I tried to take in all of the details as I possibly could. But actually, everything was so normal, nothing really stood out. I was just impressed with how natural and normal and comfortable it was aboard ship. Now, I have been aboard Ashtar's ship, which is very, very high-tech, very extraordinary, super-duper, better than Star Trek, but more in that genre where you would think, oh, yeah, I'm on a spaceship. Not so this one. This one was really calibrated to bring up Earth people and make them feel comfortable, which is what we do on our ships. We accommodate the species, the civilization, and the level of consciousness of the people that we bring aboard so they feel like they're in their own home turf. Their own comfort zone is accommodated. We also have specific areas in the ship that we can isolate in a whole energetic field so that very, very highly evolved beings from very, very advanced star systems can come aboard and, again, be accommodated in the frequency and the ambience that they're used to. So I was taken immediately into this boardroom, which had a long oval table, and I tried to count, but I couldn't quite focus on counting at that point. There were too many other things. But I believe there were 12 swivel chairs of a beige fabric that covered them, like a leatherette. And as far as I could tell, there were mostly men in the council meeting. There was myself and another woman, and I think another one. But aside from that, they were people that had been brought aboard ship for that council meeting. Now, unfortunately, I was not allowed to bring back the details of the council meeting, but perhaps it's coming out in what I'm sharing tonight, because that tends to be how it works with me. So I noticed that the man next to me was obviously a person from Earth that had been beamed up. And later, to show how tactile the experience was, he stepped on my foot with his shoe, and I said, ouch, because it hurt. So I felt him stepping on my foot. I felt the cold outside. I felt the warmth of the beam that was placed down to beam me up. So obviously, I was in a body that had a clear sensory relationship to the environment. Now, what I noticed almost immediately was two things, well, many things, but of these two, nobody goes by names. You are known by your essence. Nobody goes by titles. And so often in the channeling, you'll hear people use titles. They do not exist. You are respected for who you are, and everyone is seen as one. That was so clear to me. Everyone is regarded as equal and the same. You really got a tangible experience of what it was like to be in unified field consciousness, where you are literally one with many bodies of expression. I met with three women who were kind of serving as the hostesses and guiding me around the ship. This was not a ship I had been on before. This was not our flagship that Ashtar and I have, called the Star of Bethlehem. I don't even know what the name of this ship was. But we were taken after some time, there was no sense of time, but after the meeting, we were taken and seamlessly docked with the great mothership that I had seen. It was hard to know when that occurred because there was no differentiation other than the entering into a ginormous area. I can't emphasize how massive these motherships are. It would be like putting Manhattan Island in the sky, okay, without the skyscrapers. But to give you an idea that they're miles and miles and miles long and many, 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 many miles wide. So that you feel like you're actually in a place on Earth. You feel like you're in a city, without the skyscrapers. Or, in this case, I felt like I was in the most ginormous hotel complex conference center. The ambience was so friendly, so comfortable. The illumination seemed to be everywhere without any visible source. The carpeting, or what seemed to be carpeting on the floor, was so soft it seemed to, like, support your feet with a buoyancy and a comfort. Everywhere I looked, there was beauty and simplicity and harmony. I saw below, I guess we were on like a upper mezzanine floor, I saw below in what looked like a large ballroom, hundreds of people standing. I had the feeling they were all from Earth. I had the sense that they were being worked with, perhaps, to accommodate and adjust and understand some of the things that are being downloaded energetically on the planet, and some of the things that are happening that are of great concern to the people upon Earth. However, I was taken to another area entirely. Solario and John, who also beamed aboard, were also taken to other areas on the ship. I could see, excuse me, some of the people that were beamed up were not conscious at that level. And it was very clear to me that they were not conscious. They had been beamed up. Probably they would go back to their Earth bodies with no recall at all of having been aboard ship. Or they might have registered it as a dream, or maybe just came back with a really good feeling, like all will be well. So pay attention on those days when you have those sentiments, or maybe very fleeting knowings that you have been somewhere other than Earth. Pay attention to the first thoughts upon awakening. Now, this for me was totally 100% conscious, with the exception that I was not allowed to bring back the details of the council meeting, which is not too unusual for me, because I'm kept highly veiled in certain areas of the brain functioning so that I cannot be psychically invaded and the strategics of the Ashtar Command can never be gotten out of my consciousness. And that's another thing. I heard people speak, but it was all inside my mind, because when I looked, their lips were not moving. So the communication is 100% telepathic, no verbal exchange. Also, they spoke of many, many, many things using space language that I had no way of interpreting or understanding what they were speaking of. Because the things that they see when they travel through space have different names than what we call them here on Earth. There is a whole different reference point according to where specifically they are traveling, where they are positioned within the quantum field. The ships themselves have no propulsion systems. The ships actually appear in and out of states of intention, states of intention that are driven by a joining of the minds for a particular coordinate of service and purpose. The space itself, the gravitational field is nullified, and the space itself accommodates that purpose. It's the only way I could say it's a solidification of the purpose into that which then takes form as a spaceship, as a location, as a molding, if you will, of the very atoms in which a person or a situation is placed. That's why each week we emphasize so much the importance of where you place yourself in your attitude and in your state of consciousness, because you cause the atoms to assume a form that matches that state of consciousness perfectly. So on another level, lower, slightly lower, that pertains to the UFOs that you might see, or IFOs actually, spacecraft that are identified now, the fabric, if you will, I'm struggling for words here, the fabric, if you will, of space operates very much like the sea. If you talk to a seaman, he will tell you that there are certain currents that the ships flow on, navigational currents within the ocean. The same thing prevails in the lower fields of energy that are closer to the Earth. For example, when you see a spaceship suddenly make a zigzag movement, there are three distinct currents in space, and they pertain to different density modulations that enable a ship to step in and out of different points, again, in alignment with a specific purpose that their navigation, let's say, is to serve. And so they'll take like a zigzag position as they access one or two or three of those bands of energy, and the ship simply glides, much like an ocean liner, upon these currents. In other words, everything in our lives at that level flows according to the flow of nature, the flow of the natural cosmos, and how it moves in harmony. Every planet emits a particular melodic refrain. They've even been able to capture the sounds of the different planets. NASA has captured the sound of the sun. Everything is singing. Everything is vibrating with the divine light and sound of God, all together of which forms the cosmic chorus, the cosmic melodies. Everything is praising the Supreme Creator. Everything. And everything knows the cosmic laws and flows in harmony with it. So on this particular tour, I was taken to so many places and shown so many things. I strongly suspect that they were holograms that were much like the holodeck in Star Trek, where you could enter into a scene and it seemed as if you were there in actuality, but it was a holographic field that's created on the ship. That must have been the case, because I was shown so many things that I have no words to describe. Different places in the cosmos, different beings, different life forms, different aspects of the plan that are unfolding. And at one point I stopped and I asked the young woman, I said, I'm most recently from Venus. Are there any Venusians on ship? And she said, I don't know, but most likely there probably are. And then she railed off all of these names that I have never heard and you know, different places in space. The only one that I remembered that was familiar was Targeta, which I believe is a star in the Pleiadian system. But other than that, I would have no way of repeating the beautiful galactic names that she was reeling off. So I asked her, I said, who do you follow spiritually? And she said, oh, we follow the Wayshower. Now, the Wayshower happens to be a term that applies to my teacher, John Roger, the spiritual traveler, but also that lineage of spiritual travelers that I speak about so often. They're called the Wayshowers. So I said, oh, I follow the Wayshower also. And so I thought that was interesting. So anyway, after this extraordinary tour where I was shown, oh, very, very extraordinary scenes, whether they are for our future Earth or not, I'm not sure, but at one point she said, this is more beautiful than your Grand Canyon. And I was shown these series of beautiful waterways and terraces and terraformed Earth. It must have been the new Earth that is coming into being. But it was just so so beautiful. And I was left with a feeling of such harmony, of such oneness of all life, and of the complete safety and assurance that we are making it through this transition absolutely flawlessly, that it's already been worked out and choreographed, and all the things that we worry about, we needn't worry about because they've already occurred, for one thing. We've already bypassed the worst scenarios. They were already dissolved in the love of the grace of the beloved. And so we really don't need to be so concerned about the things that so very many people seem very frightened of, that they think might happen in the future. I believe I can tell you that you have nothing to worry about. Absolutely nothing. If you're a person who has opened your heart and you're really working with every ounce of your being to live a harmonious and loving and caring life, you're in the vibration that's going to be translocated, bilocated, transubstantiated naturally, very naturally, into this new environment. Which is why we emphasize how important it is to do everything in your power to raise your vibration, to expand your spiritual awareness of who you are and what you are. Because as you raise your vibration into one of ongoing loving harmony, you actually begin to live at that higher paradigm level. Just naturally, you transcend what I would call the third-dimensional mass hypnotic state. Most of the people are entrained hypnotically through the media, through what is shown in the movies, through what's shown on television, through what appears on the news each night. So you're not seeing anything that's real. You're seeing a state of consciousness that we have long since outgrown. But because it's familiar, we keep repatterning back into that when we're being invited to transcend that and to see a new possibility. And the other thing that I was clearly shown is that without the time-space factor, that creation is completely unlimited, and completely without any precedent where we're going, which means that whatever the heart can dream as the most perfectly divine, exquisite, joyful outcome, that is what you will indeed experience. It's not fantasy, but it does mean that you have to step out of the herd, out of the consensus belief systems, out of everything you've been indoctrinated into believing was, quote, true, and begin to really ask to be shown that the divine being that sees through your eyes could open your eyes to a new world. That divine being that pumps the blood in your heart and beats your heart. That divine being that breathes through your lungs and gives you life, that one that illumines your mind, that translates the images you see through your brain, that could reinterpret your life for you. I believe with all my heart, if you ask for that, reinterpret, Lord, how I see everything. Let me see through your eyes, your heart, your loving. I believe with all my heart that you will receive that. Two of the people I met aboard ship were originally from California, which I thought was interesting. And one of them I asked, I said, how did you get to be a crew member aboard ship? And the young woman said, I prayed for that. And it was granted. I was allowed to stay aboard ship and work as a member of the crew. I thought that was really, really interesting. So anyway, I was beamed back in my body, woke up, complete recall. I could still smell the interior of the ship, which had such a pleasant aroma, such a pleasant but distinctive smell and ambience. And that vibration stayed with me the rest of the day. Also, no sooner had I gotten back in my body, but Solario walks through the door. And I said, did they just bring you back? She said, yes. She said, I slept for 12 hours without getting up. I never do that. And I said, do you remember anything? She said, no. I said, okay, be quiet then. Don't talk. I'm going to write down as much as I possibly can before it fades. That's another thing. These experiences take place at a level beyond the beta level of brainwave oscillation. They're primarily alpha, theta. Theta is just before you go into sleep. So you have to really catch it and make a point of bringing it down as much as you can into your remembrance. This is why you're taught to meditate. You're taught to record your dreams. You're taught to write down things that you intuit, because it begins to bring to bridge those levels so you have more of a conscious recall. Now, I want to tell you an experience that Pope John the 23rd had with an extraterrestrial. There's a book that you must read if you're interested. Here to Help, UFOs and the Space Brothers. It's written by Gerard Artson. You can get it on Amazon. And the subtitle is Message from Space. Life is one, so live as one or perish. And it has a number of very, very, well, the whole book is wonderful, but this is pretty amazing. This happened during the 1960s with Pope John the 23rd, also known as the Good Pope, to whom thousands of miracles and healings are ascribed from all over the world. And he had encounters with extraterrestrial beings. So this encounter is written in this book, Here to Help, that I've just told you about. And I'm reading. A well-documented encounter took place one evening in July of 1961 at the Pope's summer residence of Castel Gandolfo, Italy. While in the garden, the Pope and one of his assistants saw an unusual craft in the sky. It was oval and had blue and amber flashing lights. The craft seemed to fly over the heads for a few minutes, and then landed over the grass on the south end of the garden. A strange being came out of the craft. He looked human, except he was surrounded by a golden light and had pointed ears. The Pope and I, whoever that other person was, we didn't know what we were witnessing, but we knew it was not from this world, so it should have been a celestial event. The Holy Father stood up and walked toward the being. The two of them spent 15 to 20 minutes together. It seemed they talked intensely. They did not call me, so I remained where I was and could not hear anything of the conversation. The being turned around and walked toward the craft and left straight away. The pontiff came toward me and told me, "The sons of God are everywhere. Sometimes we have difficulties in recognizing our own brothers." And an interesting side note, during his last lecture tour of Europe, George Adamski met Pope John the 23rd on the 31st of May, 1963. According to Lou Zinsztag, who accompanied him on much of his tour of Europe, Adamski was given access to the Pope's residence through a small doorway in one of the high wooden entrance gates to the left of the dome of St. Peter's, away from the Swiss guards. He later told Mrs. Zinsztag that he had indeed been received by the Pope, who said to him, "I have been expecting you." He also handed the Pope a sealed message which he had received earlier from a space brother in Copenhagen. In return, the Pope presented Adamski with a new ecumenical council medallion, which would only go on sale after the demise of Pope John XXIII, which took place, interestingly enough, 2 days later. One more example of a public figure to make statements about the nature of space visitors is former astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell. As a rigorously trained scientist and the sixth man to walk on the moon, Dr. Mitchell brings to bear not only his reputation, but also his professional experience when he said in a 2008 radio interview in the UK, "There is life throughout the universe. We are not alone in the universe at all. I know for sure we're not alone in the universe. I happen to be privileged enough to be in on the fact that we have been visited on this planet, and the UFO phenomena is real, although it's been covered up by governments for quite a long time." Although Dr. Mitchell says there is more nonsense going on around the nature of UFOs than actual knowledge, the fact that a number of contacts are real and ongoing is pretty well known to those of us who have been briefed and been close to the subject matter. As to the intent of the extraterrestrial visitors, Dr. Mitchell reassured both the host and his listeners, "No, it's never hostile. It's pretty obvious that if they had been hostile, we would have been gone by now. We have no defense," if that were their real intent. So, again, if you've not read George Adamski's account of numerous meetings aboard craft with Venusians, Saturnians, Martians, and I think that pretty much covers the ones he's had contact with. If you haven't read that book, you can still get it on Amazon. And it's called Inside the Spaceships. And it is actually the very first real, authentic encounter where a person had been taken repeatedly aboard Venusian craft, allowed to take photographs, brought back photographs, all of that. And he was the one that started, but his story was what drew forth the initial debunking. Because, again, it was so extraordinarily wonderful that the powers that would like to be simply couldn't hear of it. They have to be in control, right? So, anyway, they're giving up their control bit by bit because they realize it's a losing proposition. But they have done a great disservice by their constant debunking, ridiculing, and portraying extraterrestrial encounter as being harmful, dangerous, predatory. In fact, the Venusian woman, Omnic Onik, even said that all of these scenarios where people think they're being abducted, and all of that, that's staged almost entirely by those that would keep this information secret. They're actually portraying themselves as extraterrestrials to cause people to have fear. And that's what we are dealing with here. And how important it is to get information out that's actually factual and true. And before the book Communion came out, I had never, ever heard of an abduction story or a negative alien encounter, and I've been having them since I was, I've been having ongoing contact with the Ashtar Command since I was 6, 7 years old. So this was long, long before any of this was talked about. And as I've told you many times, I came in conscious and being aware of having come from another place very different from Earth, which I later found out was Venus. But I had never, ever had a negative experience aboard ship. I've never seen a negative ET. I've never had any of those experiences at all. And so I noticed that after the 1980s, when that book was written, people began to report having abduction experiences for the first time. And I think it's because once you sow a thought form into the human collective consciousness, it kind of can take on a momentum of its own, particularly if it's sensational, if it's phenomenal, if it's fear-based. It's like that lower nature just grabs onto that stuff because, as I've told you before, that's how the ego gets its fix. That's how it fuels itself, is through negativity and through fear. And it wants to keep you here solid and in the third dimension as long as possible. So obviously it's going to fight anything that's going to take you out of its realm of navigation, which is the body and the physical world. Now, what I want to point out is that all experiences of the Ashtar Command are positive without exception. We never abduct. We always invite. If there's the slightest bit of fear, we back off immediately. Why? Because fear is totally incompatible with our vibration. Nobody is ever harmed by interaction with us. However, if a person goes into a negative state of consciousness, which all negative states are fear-based, the shock of the disparity of the vibrations can cause injury to that person, which, of course, we avoid in every possible way. One of the ways is that we test people a long time before we actually encounter them. One of the ways that I experienced in the early 60s before I came into the training for this work full-time was that they would send little discs that would skim past my head, and they would take a reading on my state of consciousness. They would take a reading on my vibration, on where I was. Within myself. And they did that quite a bit. And then, of course, I was led to my first Ashtar Command teacher, which I told you about a little bit, I think, last week. But the point is, you are thoroughly examined to see if you're ready for an experience of this kind, so that you won't be afraid, and so that you can be assisted without the violation of your consciousness or the violation of your reality, such as you understand it to be. The experiences, almost without exception, are always in the etheric physical body. The physical body that you see is physical, liquid, and gaseous. Those are the three levels that you can see of the physical. There are four other levels called etheric physical that are slightly out of the vibration that you normally can see in, except for some people who have developed etheric vision. I would be one of them. But this is something we're all developing, and eventually we'll be able to see into that dimension. But the ships themselves are etheric. The bodies of the people aboard ship are all human, and they're all ethereal. One time we saw the Ashtar Command when we were up on our property in Colorado many years ago, and they came out to greet Solario and I as we drove on the property, and they looked like Pillsbury Doughboys, you know, just white light bodies that were surrounding the property and greeting us. And then later they put down three luminous rings of light on the property. And when we would walk into that ring of light, when we were invited to do so, they would manifest their forms in that ring of light. And one time, Ashtar came across the field. He was very tall, 7 feet tall, and he merged with me. And it felt like cool mist. kind of a loving and ecstatic cool mist, but cool mist never the same. And I remember how disappointed I was because I realized, oh my gosh, they're really in another dimension and I'm really stuck here. Was not a happy camper. But just saying, they raise and lower their vibrations when that's appropriate. But if it's going to cause any kind of fear, they will not do that. They really honor your free will. That's why they would never, ever invade your consciousness. They would never implant you. They would never, ever do sexual or other exploitation on your bodies. The ones that do that, as far as I know, are not extraterrestrials at all. They're beings that live in various places on the earth, in caves and subterranean in some cases, and they also live in the astral belt that surrounds the planet. And they're not extraterrestrials in the true sense of the word, but they're evolving beings that are not very highly evolved at this point. I also know for a fact that during the experiments that were done in Montauk, which started way before the 40s, actually, according to some accounts, back as early as the 30s, that there was a rip in time that occurred, just like you have a scratch on your arm and it allows microbes and bacteria to come in. That rip in the time-space continuum, is what I was shown, has allowed the entrance of other entities, other dimensional entities, to come into this planetary system that are not evolved enough to be on the upward arc of ascension. They're not candidates for ascension. They're hive-conscious insectoid beings that are hive-driven. In other words, they don't have an individualized soul like we do. So they came into this time-space continuum, and I think that's what a lot of people are mistaking for genuine extraterrestrial contact. And of course, you know, that's all you see the pictures of, and that's all you hear about. So people really don't know of the beautiful human beings that George Adamski wrote about in his book, Inside the Spaceships, or any of these other marvelous contactee experiences, which was what I had access to coming into the work as I did in the 50s and 60s when all of these things were taking place. So I think I'm going to be speaking more and more often about these things because I'm finally being guided to do that more overtly because I think you're ready for it. I think you understand the importance of your spiritual life and not to focus on being beamed up or getting off the planet. That's not the objective. Those of you that I speak to each week are by and large the ground crew that have volunteered to be here to help Earth with its ascension and with the movement into the higher state of consciousness. So I just wanted to clarify that and to let you know that you're here to be of a higher vibration and a higher state of consciousness than the people that you largely interact with daily. You have to be a wayshower and model this universal, harmonious way of living where you don't go into the judgment and the negativity and the againstness and the differentiation and the prejudice and all of that, which is totally foreign to those of us from higher worlds. By the way, I'm the third occupant to operate through this body. Each one was a Venusian. Each one was a member of the Ashtar Command. Each one was a commander. And sometimes, you know, I dance between the data banks of all of those beings that have used the body, all of which were aspects of my monadic self. which helped somewhat, but one of them was an actual walk-in, walk-out situation, which occurred in the early 60s. And so I understand those of you who relate to being a walk-in or relate to being a future self integration, which is what I am now, a future self that came back in time to integrate with a past persona. And our consciousness, you see, is very complex. That's why I would like you to get really friendly with yourself and just give yourself your own blessing that whoever you are, whatever you are, however you are, you're meant to be that way, and love yourself the way you are. However quirky, however unusual you may be, and I'm about as over the top as a person's ever going to be, but I've learned to really integrate and ground that so it doesn't look, you know, wacky. Unless, of course, it does. I suppose I have my moments when I really look whack. But I'm just saying that we're not here to be Earthians. We're here to be Galactians, to be a new galactic Christ race. Not Christ as a religion, but Christ as it is meant in the true meaning of the word, anointed ones, ones anointed with a higher divine spirit that come to present a new way of living. And what we need to do right now is completely join in one united voice and say, no more war, no more nuclear anything, none of it, and do whatever we can to bring those two things to an absolute halt. And you know, it's always the people that make the changes happen. It's not the people in office. They're usually just puppets to somebody else. It's the people. And when we started the Occupy movement and we started some of these other movements, that was a time when you began to see the human soul rise up and say, this is not going to happen anymore. Not on my watch, not ever. I'm standing for a new thing here. And so it needs to be peaceful, but it needs to be persistent, and it needs to be relentless. No more war. No more nuclear anything. None. Now, when that happens, several things are going to happen that are going to be extraordinary. You're going to see the actual landing of the people from other worlds, and they're going to bring the technology that enables us to have free energy. It's called the technology of light, but that's not the only thing it does. It regrows organs so that you don't ever have to have surgery again. It can do actually unlimited things. It's unlimited in its scope, but it cannot be used by anybody who has any kind of ill will harbored anywhere in their consciousness. We have to grow beyond that desire to harm. And that's another thing. We would never harm another being. We would give our own life before we would ever raise a hand to harm another. Jesus the Christ was a good example of that. A beautiful being from Venus. He did not raise his hand against his tormentors, his accusers, or those that crucified his physical body. And so that's a good example of how we live. We come to serve and never to harm. We come as universal brothers and sisters, not to be idolized and adored. You know, people are all too quick to bow down and make gods out of people. That's one of the reasons we hold back. We don't want to be seen as gods. We want to be seen as brothers and sisters. We want to come and share a beautiful universe and the beautiful things that we have learned in our traversing as souls through the different planetary systems. Each planet is a school of consciousness. Each nation in your world is a school of consciousness, like a classroom. So the classroom that you're born in is the classroom that you need to be in. So learn all you can, but graduate. Graduate beyond where you were born, where you grew up. Keep going beyond. There's always more. And it gets more and more beautiful as you work with us consciously. There are spiritual beings that govern every planet, including Earth, and they work as one with those of us from other worlds. No one is seen as separate. We're a family of star nations. We're a family of universal galactic man. We come with a great desire to open the eyes of Earth to a new way of living, a new way of being, and to a way of living on your planet where everyone has the wherewithal for a just and happy and fulfilling life, where no one goes without food, no one goes without shelter or the needful medical care. You won't have need for medicine when you learn how to live in harmony. We haven't had disease on our planets for thousands, maybe millions of years. No disease, no accidents. And even death, you see, is not death. But when the soul has experienced a form to where it no longer is offering a challenge and they wish to have a different experience, they can literally reinvent themselves. And it's a ceremony where everyone comes to celebrate the life and to release that person to take on a new persona, a new being, a new expression, to progress on. And it's not seen as a cause for fear and mourning and all of that. Again, fear will completely dissipate when we understand that life is ongoing and eternal. And you change forms depending on which realm and which dimension and which planet you wish to manifest upon. But when you boil it down to what it is, we are simply light. Light either densified into solid form or light that's transcendent. Just like you'll have water that's ice and water that's steam and water that's fog and water that's flowing. Like that. Our spiritual essence can take on any number of forms, or operate without forms, or move in and out of forms at will, depending on where we want to manifest and serve. So again, begin to experience yourself as a field of energy, as a field of consciousness and energy. Begin to feel the energy inside your body. Identify with that more than the physical appearance and the physical density and the physical confines. And begin to listen. Spend less time thinking and more time just quietly listening. By listening, not only to the sounds around you without irritation and without resistance, but you'll learn to hear telepathically. And then we can speak to you in our native language, which is the language of love, the language of the heart. So I haven't really been able to completely convey everything I wanted to share tonight, so we'll have to continue this topic in other times. But in the meantime, raise your vibrations as high as you can. Chant the hue, that's going to help you a great deal. And be happy. Enjoy life. That's why you were created, to enjoy life and to share love. So let's go out chanting on I hue. Deep breath. On I hue. May the peace of the Supreme One be with each one of you. Adonai.